times in the great frozen north?
Not too bad. It's not that frozen.
Oh.
We've had a very mild December and January so far.
Ah. This too can change.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't get any of the snow that they got in Buffalo, then?
No. Buffalo's maybe 2 hours from here.
Oh, okay.
And we have maybe 2 centimeters on the ground right now.
Ah.
So
that's almost a gimme.
Yeah.
Not even breaking out the shovels for two,
no,
right?
It isn't. But there's lots of snow on the ski hills here, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to some people in Michigan. They hadn't had, they were in a ski area, and they hadn't had anything. They were crying.
Yeah. Well, we've got lots of good snowmaking machinery up just around the corner from us.
You got any elevation?
No, it's only about 800 feet high.
Oh, okay.
But that's where we learn to ski, and then we go out west for ski holidays.
I was years ago, I was doing some things with the National Ski Areas Association, and I was at one of the conventions and saw this guy with a name tag that said Fun Valley, Iowa. And I had to talk to him about it. But I got to pardon my ignorance here, but I've driven across Iowa a few times, and I don't remember any hills.
Okay, Iowa's in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he said, well, he said, we don't have any hills. He said, but we have this hole. And apparently they make snow in the hole.
Really?
Yeah, you ski down the bottom, they drag you back out.
That's all right.
I said, well, vertical drop is where you find it, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's on your mind today? Anything in particular, or are you just calling up to hang out?
I just want to hang out, hear some ideas, and maybe speak up on some of the stuff I have.
Okay, well, at the moment, you have the floor.
There's nobody else around?
Yes, not yet.
Yeah.
Doesn't appear to be.
I've listened to the tape a few times,
mm-hmm.
and we've done quite well as far as service. My restaurant, I've been here for almost 17 years.
Wow.
The first 8 years, it was a roadhouse bar, and I was 28 when I opened that, so that was fun. But, the franchisor went out of business,
mm-hmm.
and we went independent, and we had a lack of focus when we first started up because we were trying to grab some of the bar business and some of the dinner business, and they don't really go too well. So
no.
I went through a marketing seminar with one of the radio stations that we have in town and said, focus in on something really strong. And, I said, what do you do really well? And I said, well, we have good service. He said, yeah, but when I go home and talk to my wife tonight, he says, I'm not going to tell her, let's go out for good service. I'm going to say, let's go out for steak or let's go out for seafood.
Uh-huh.
So we were specializing in steaks and ribs, and so we said, Jake's means steaks. And town of about 75,000 now, we're known for steaks. We've built our business on that.
Okay.
And we still have 17-year-old tables and chairs and a bar. Everything is original except for new carpeting and stuff like that. We've refinished everything all the time. But I've always told my staff, I said, it's not a fancy place. The only way we're going to compete for business is with really good food and really good service. And we were voted in the year 2000 by the local. They have a survey of all the readers of the local newspaper, and we were voted Peterborough's friendliest service.
Oh, that's great.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it
and,
is.
And we took that away from a car dealership. And this year we were recognized by the Canadian National Institute for the Blind as being the only place. Well, I've got it right here. It's an Insight to the Community Award presented to Jake's in recognition of outstanding awareness and response to the needs of the blind and visually impaired in our community.
And, good to hear.
That's a nice feather in our cap as well.
Absolutely.
But we, my food and beverage servers are certified Ontario Tourism Education Corporation, or Council, I should say. They're trained in that, and there was a whole section on how to serve handicapped people.
Huh.
So it works.
Oh, that's great. Good
yeah.
for you.
But,
good for you.
We, throughout the fall, when everybody was talking about 10 and 15% drops in business, we maintained our business compared to last year. So we didn't lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
A colleague of mine who has the exact same concept in a town about 100 miles from here. He's down 20%.
Wow.
So it's kind of nice to see the growth.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So do you attribute that to training? Do you?
I think training. We buy the highest quality steaks we can buy in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Mine's a Canada AAA corn-fed steak, which is very consistent. The place I buy it from, he contracts out to, I think it's 5 farms in the area. He dictates their feed, and there's no antibiotics allowed in the feed or anything like that. And then 30 days before slaughter, he finishes them off in his own yard. And we get a very consistent product, and it's done as well.
Oh, that's good.
As well, and I've learned to eat a lot of steak. there's nobody else on the line right now?
No.
No. I was going to ask you a couple of ideas for an MIS series.
Okay.
Or first of all, I don't know if maybe in one of these discussions. What is a really good comment card?
There are some ideas on that. There's a book that I did called Cashing In on Complaints.
Okay, it's actually sitting on my desk right now.
Okay, if you've got that, there's a whole section in there on comment cards.
Okay.
And just sort of formats for questions, some suggestions certainly on some questions that you could put in, but most comment cards are totally useless.
Yeah. I get a good response on mine, and I've got a write-in section on the back of it, which a lot of people use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if there's something better.
Well, you may be doing it well, and I guess I don't see that many that are done well.
Yeah.
Usually it's, you know, how was the service, you know, exceptional, better than the average, worst on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, so but people are just fishing for compliments, and there's nothing they can do what I want to see on a comment card is, first of all, you know, a meaningful question.
Yeah.
But something that gives me information that I can take action on once I get it.
Yeah.
So how was the service? They say, okay, well, that doesn't, what do I do with that?
Yeah. And most people aren't going to write too much, so you've got to have the right questions.
Yeah, you've got people will give it at the outside 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And so if you have a question that said, how was the service, that's a two-minute answer.
Yeah.
And that's all you're going to get. So if you have 20 different things that you want opinions about, have 4 different cards and put 5 of them on each card.
Yeah.
And then you've got a red card and a green card and a blue card and an orange card. And for your regulars, that's kind of helpful because say, well, gee, I haven't seen the green one before.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes your regulars are the toughest ones because we do have a relationship. For me to tell you that something isn't right or it isn't good is almost insulting.
Yeah.
It's like me coming to your house and saying, you know, that carpet really looks terrible.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't do it. You just leave and you don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
So I need to... A lot of people say, well, all my clientele's local, so it doesn't matter to me. But, you know, I think particularly with your locals, you've got to make an effort to get that feedback because they probably won't tell you. They just go someplace else.
Yeah. The other two, I guess there are two people I thought of for you to interview for the tape series.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The guys that... No, it's at the top of my tongue, and I can't think of their name right now. Or Warren's Lobster House in Maine.
Okay.
I talked to them about
Warren's. Oh, yeah. Dave McKee.
Dave McKee.
Yeah.
Talked to him about his frequent diner club.
Oh yeah.
And his newsletter. And
okay.
A couple of years ago, in Inc. magazine, they wrote up about a pub, I think it was in Philadelphia, that was ranked as one of the best small businesses in America to work at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember too much about the article, but you know, I like to think that I have the best place in Peterborough to work at. But what do they do?
Yeah,
that
sure.
I don't do.
Okay.
But I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
The Philadelphia one?
Yeah.
No.
I think
it's... Because Inc. isn't a magazine that I would typically read.
No. I read it, and I can't remember. You know, it's just one of those things that went blank, but I remember it was a pub in Philadelphia.
Huh.
Again, I don't know the name of it. I know it was a lady who ran it, and you know, with a business that has a high turnover, it's kind of nice to be one of the places that, you know, people want to work at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I have one of those. I hope I do. one of my managers is leaving in 6 months. He's moving to Australia.
Ah.
And I've already had a manager from Kelsey's, which is a big franchised system in Canada, approach me about the opening. So here's somebody who's willing to leave the big guys and come to work for me.
That's great.
So I'll offer it first in-house, but
yeah.
I know anybody that I want to do it, I don't think they could because they're either single moms or something like that. And the people that would do it aren't qualified to do it. So
yeah.
I think I'll probably will take this guy on.
Mm.
But, you know, if the staff knows that I am looking in-house first, then they appreciate it a bit more.
Sure, and the only ones that are going to be an issue is the ones that think they're ready for it and aren't.
Yeah, and I might have...
And then you're going to have to work with them to help them understand what they need to do, have some program working.
Sure, yeah.
So that they will be ready the next time that it came up.
Yeah, well, for dining room manager, we have a number of certifications in Canada that you can get. Your food and beverage server certification, Ontario Wine Council certification, Ontario Superhost. I don't know if you know about the Superhost program.
No.
It was started in BC, and it's just being a superhost, knowing about everything in your community, and you know, it's a good program, and it's good because we're in the tourism business.
I didn't know people in Ontario even acknowledged BC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love going out there. I love the mountains. But and there was a first aid certification and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the person who might be interested in it doesn't have any of those, so I just say, you know, these are the things that are required, and you know,
sounds like you're way ahead of us on that kind of thing.
I'm sorry?
Sounds like you're way ahead of us on that kind of thing.
Yeah. Something. I'm an advisor to the local community college, and it's just one of the programs that came available, and we took it.
Oh,
and it works.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, come out when we're doing the. I mean, you're starting to see the information on that super conference.
Yeah.
In May, that's going to be in Seattle, so that's, you know, that's sort of suburban Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah, not too far away.
Yeah, so if you need an excuse to come out, I think that's going to be a good one.
Okay.
Speaking of Australia, I've just been February interview. Hi there.
Hi, this is Edmund.
Hey, Edmund. Anyway, the February interview is with Max Hitchens.
We get his emails.
Oh, okay.
Coming through.
Good. Yeah. So I've been deeply immersed in Aussie here.
Yeah.
For a while.
That's good.
Hey, we got Kevin on the line from Canada.
Okay, great.
He was on the last time.
Yes, sir. Hey, Kevin.
How are you?
Good, sir.
Edmund Wu from Greenville, South Carolina. Honey, you don't sound Southern.
No, I do. I turn it on and off.
Oh, okay.
And depending on the clientele.
There you go. Anyway, so we've been talking about comment cards and certifications in Canada. They've got all kinds of good stuff going on.
Okay.
And other than that, I think Kevin called up really just to hang out. We've been putting
them
to work.
Yeah, and that's what I did also.
We've been putting them to work. Anyway, what's happening in your end of the world?
Talking to me, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had a good holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to recover from that and hoping that January and February won't be a big letdown.
You going to come down to Orlando?
I'll probably have to postpone that to next year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on a austerity campaign right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, last time you talked, I let my GM go.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, if I could, you know, use, and I'm working his position so I could save, you know, so we could use that stuff to pay the bills.
Yeah, well,
that kind of stuff.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
When is the Orlando conference?
Orlando, the roundtable is going to be 4th and 5th of February.
Have you ever gone to one of those, Kev?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I went, like 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe
yeah, it's been a while now.
Yeah, it's been 3 years ago now, and it was an absolute blast. I mean, I would go, you know, I wish I was in a position to go every year if it was happening more often. I'd go to the one out west just to get a different feel, but it was absolutely great.
Yeah, I'm taking my family to Disney World, I think the 7th of February, so.
Come down a couple of days early, sit in on this, make it then the whole thing is deductible.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. All of a sudden, my airline tickets and hotel accommodations are deductible. So
yeah,
great way to start a holiday too. Yeah, that information is on your website.
Well, I'm going to stick it in. Let's see, it's going to go out with the tape.
Actually, I had a hard time loading that thing.
Oh, the PDF.
Yeah, for some reason, maybe I just not that computer literate.
Well, I can. Hey, if you want to just give me a fax number, I'll just fax it up to you.
Okay. 864-233-7608.
While we're doing it, I might as well send you one, Kev.
Okay, it's 705-741-0492.
0492, okay. Okay, we'll send that out. I'm still playing around with this, you know, I'd like to find a way to send the newsletter out as in HTML, so it comes out like a web page. And then, I mean, there are things I can do on the computer that I can't get over into an email format yet.
Okay.
Because all the graphics have to convert, and there's a few other things that I haven't quite figured out how to do yet.
I don't know anything about computers. I just turn them on today, and what I need is there.
You hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my problem. Sometimes it turns on, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I've just rebuilt 3 computers, so I'm painfully aware of all of that. And 2 regular backups.
Yeah. But I would give that roundtable a very big endorsement. I mean, we get up at 6:37, go run. You know, the restaurant guys that actually ran, and so you're talking restaurant stuff from the get-go.
Yeah.
You come back for breakfast, and you're talking restaurant stuff. And then you're into 2 or 3 hours of stuff before lunch of whatever, you know, subject where you're talking about. Lunchtime is you're trying a different restaurant, and usually it's somebody that Bill knows fairly well, so you get the, you know, food tour of whatever it might be.
Oh, yeah.
And then another 3 or 4 hours of restaurants, and then in the evening we're hitting a restaurant where we're ordering the whole menu. In the entire menu, you know, and passing it up and down, and again, you know, half the time it's somebody that Bill knew well enough so that we could get into the kitchen and talk to the chef and that type of thing. It was a great experience.
Great. It's nothing better than sitting down and talking to restaurant people. They all have the same problems, and
yeah,
maybe somebody has a solution to something that, you know, you've been hitting your head against the wall.
Oh, yeah. Or so bad they've got a different take on it than you do, and sometimes just that switch of perspective is enough to...
Sure.
...to open the path for you.
Yeah.
And really, this kind of a thing can't happen any other place. I mean, it's not something that the, you know, your local Chamber of Commerce is going to do, because people won't sit down with their competitors.
No.
And talk about it. The restaurant, it's not something that the Restaurant Association would, you know, would typically do. The Ontario Association probably wouldn't do it.
No.
The CRFA wouldn't do it.
No.
Yeah, well, the other thing is even if that could happen, because you're at home, the phones never stop ringing. You know, there's always an emergency or the restaurant you have to get back to or whatever. And then and just out when you're out of town like that for 3 or 4 days, you're sort of trapped, and you know you're there, and you know and you don't have to be bothered with the day to day stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know my wife was at the travel agency today to get the tickets, so maybe I can work on that. When is it, the 4th and 5th?
4th and 5th, so it's the Monday, Tuesday.
Sounds good.
I think that's right, yeah.
I got two questions, if it's an appropriate time. I just want to ask, business-wise, just wanted to get y'all's feedback.
Okay.
One thing is pertaining to my Saskatoon concept. Yeah, I've been working real hard on the on the service and the personal connection and that kind of thing. With my new servers that I've hired, I seem to have a lot of luck in doing that. It seems that all my call parties are mainly, at least 80% of them are for my new people. They're getting the message, I think, and the training, and I think, and all that. They're fresh. I've been hiring some people who do have experience, some people who do not, and had good success because of, changing the way I've been hiring.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using your screening interview form out of one, that Fortate thing that you had one time.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, using that and getting some good people and getting a lot of good comments about my new people.
That's great.
From my older people.
With new people, because you can just say, here's the way we do it, and they go, oh, okay.
Right. Some of my older people, some of them have bought in. Some of them have not and have left. I still got a couple of older guys there that, they're not necessarily full-time guys, but they're there for, they have full-time professions, and they work a couple of nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a tough time getting those guys. One thing that I've hit on time and time again recently in our conversations when we're on the phone once a month is about, we're working real hard at using names, and that kind of thing, working real hard on the team approach to service, which I buy into, and I'm having a tough time with two or three guys. I'm not to a point where, I probably should be at the point where I should ask them to leave or to get off the boat. But because of just the way I am, I'm not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, I haven't really gotten these guys either by example or by leadership or even a little bit of one-to-one coaching to get them to come aboard. They're making a good bit of effort, but then as soon as I'm not paying attention or I'm not there, they're falling back into their old habits.
So the question is?
The question is basically, at what point do you say, hey, this is the way or else, and you guys got to get going, some guys have been with me for 4 or 5 years.
Well, I think the question to ask yourself is, can I live with it?
Yeah.
And if you can live with it, keep coaching.
Right.
There's going to come a point when you say, no, I just can't live with it anymore. It's not,
right.
I'm not maintaining my standard, and it's just taking more time than I'm willing to devote to it.
Well, the problem is, it's my new people. They see that. They see what I try to lead. They see what I try
mm-hmm.
to coach. And then they see my old guys not doing it.
Yeah. So that's going to move up the how long can you live with it
right.
number would be my guess.
Okay.
But I mean that does become the question, and there is a requirement, I think, to an obligation, whatever you want to call it, to keep the playing field clear.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I'll work with you for a little bit on this, but I don't want to make it another career.
Right. Okay.
And you're the one that's got to make that call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there isn't. It's not like, we'll give it, 13 days. And if it hasn't happened in 13 days, let them go. I think you've got to decide, but as soon as you start to hear rumbles, as soon as it's starting to have an impact elsewhere in the organization, then you're going to have to do something about it, or you risk.
I risk losing the momentum and the stuff
yeah.
that we're doing.
Well,
and
your own credibility.
Right.
Because they go, well, what the hell? It's like if you're diligently paying taxes and the guy next to you isn't, and the state knows that he isn't, but they don't do anything,
mm-hmm.
and after a while you go, well, what am I doing? What am I, an idiot? Why am I paying if he's not? So, you've got to enforce it, and you've got to come down hard or come down with appropriate force when it's not happening.
Okay.
Now, you could use it. I mean, one way to do it is to say, well, we're going to use some of this as a basis to assign stations. So it's not.
You say that again? Use that as a basis for what?
Well, their compliance, if you will, mm-hmm. as a basis for assigning stations or mm-hmm. assigning work schedules or mm-hmm. something else that has some value to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the people that are remembering the names, that are doing this and this and this and this and all these things they want to do, you get your first choice of station, you get your first choice of schedule.
Right.
And so you don't punish the other ones, but you reward the guys that are doing it.
Okay.
And that's usually a little more positive.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll either get it or they'll leave.
Right.
I mean, truth is.
Okay.
A lot of peer pressure involved in catching on with the program, too.
Yeah, somewhat, but because it's inverted, though. The new guys have the, you know what I mean? They're the new guys, and they're buying into it and doing this, but because they're the new guys, they have the least amount of peer pressure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, the old guys have the, whatever, the seniority, or be it, I mean, you said or not, you know, it's just the way it sort of is.
Yeah.
Even though we don't really give anything to seniority, it's that hey, you know, I might have a little bit more patience with you, or you know, and you know, might take a whole lot longer to pull the plug on somebody like that has, you know, because of your loyalty and you've been with us forever, and you know, have a tendency to have a hard time to pull that trigger.
We I don't know about labor laws. We would have to go through a series of progressive discipline
mm-hmm.
on one meeting, verbal meeting. And you know, you write notes about it. Then the second time, it's a written warning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The third time's a written warning with dismissal.
Right.
You just explain to them that they aren't bringing the intangibles to work. You know, the presence and the friendly service and that kind of stuff. You know, they're doing the mechanics properly, but not the intangibles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I know if you get sued for wrongful dismissal here, it can get quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, basically, if like it's not, it's a behavioral problem. So when you dismiss somebody with 4 years experience in Canada, you have to give them, I think it's 4 months pay.
Wow.
And you know, even then it gets quite expensive. But if you terminate them incorrectly, then you can be looking at severance pay and you know, loss of wages from the time they left your place to the time they got to the next place, and
right,
it gets quite expensive.
Okay.
Of course, a bit more socialist than what we deal with. But I think that's why I like the idea of I'm not going to fire you, but what I am going to do is show preference to those who are doing what we want done.
Yeah.
And then people will leave on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like one trick that I picked up at the Olympics, one of the things that we would do if we had a hanging offense, rather than firing, you know, you catch somebody stealing, instead of firing them, we would suspend them for a week,
mm-hmm.
pending investigation. And so during that week, we'd, you know, make sure we had all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. But almost invariably, I don't think we ever had a case where they were still around at the end of the week.
Right.
They knew that the writing was on the wall. They went out, found another job.
Yeah.
And so it was, so effectively they quit rather than us having to fire them and take the, you know.
There's an amount of humiliation that they have to face when they come back too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I mean, that'd be what I'd look at. But what people need to know is that this is the direction that we're going, and either you're on or you're not.
Right.
Because if it doesn't make any difference one way or the other, if there's no particular benefit to following the new ideas,
mm-hmm.
it's always easier to stay with the old stuff.
Sure. Okay. Noted.
Okay.
Thank you.
And plus, it's easier. You don't have to be a hard ass.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be as much of a hard ass, but see, there's a difference between being certain and being stubborn. Do we ever have that discussion?
No.
I tend to drive a little fast, and I lived in California for 12 years. I had occasion to run into California Highway Patrol every so often, and they are wonderfully personable. They're very friendly. They're extremely courteous. And there is never one flicker of doubt but what you are going to get a ticket. I mean, you don't even think about trying to talk your way out of it, because the possibility of talking your way out of it is not in this man's consciousness anywhere. And because it isn't in his consciousness, it never occurs to you to try it. So I mean, that's the difference between being certain and being stubborn. You can't work for me and steal from me. Just can't do it. Can't work for me and have bad sanitation practices. Won't happen. I mean, don't even think about walking out of the restroom without washing your hands. Don't even think about it. Because every once in a while, I'm going to be out there with my little Petri dish, and we're going to just say, just run your fingers across this thing, and let's see what's going on. And if anything grows, you're gone. Period. I don't have to be an idiot about it. That's just gravity. You know? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so once you are certain that in order to stay on the staff here, in order to get the good stations and the good shifts, this is the kind of performance that we need to be seeing, and I'll work with you as much as I can to help you get there, but understand it has to happen.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I understand why there may be reasons that you felt you needed to steal from me, but also understand that it's not anything that we can tolerate. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. And as long as you're clear on that, then they will be clear on that, and you'll have a lot less problem.
Okay.
It's when they think they can talk their way. You know, when you're you'll know that you're uncertain when they start trying to talk you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are if it's totally clear in your mind, it'll never occur to them to do it.
Okay.
I mean, I just found that once it locked in for me, that I didn't have any problems anymore.
Okay.
And I also didn't have any problem cutting somebody loose if I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My second question is a negotiation question.
Okay.
Real quick. You know, we have the three concepts, and I had that bar downtown that I changed into an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's probably, you know, it's only open 5 nights a week, and we just kicked off lunch 2 weeks ago. So we're probably only doing, this is the off-season. Season doesn't start downtown until April. Off-season, we're doing about seven, eight grand a week.
Okay.
You know, that's open 5 nights and just starting open for lunch. So, you know, that number should go up a little bit. On-season, it should be around between 13 and 15 grand a week. I had one of my fellow restaurant people who owns 10 Mexican restaurants in town. We can do a Mexican restaurant and bar downtown, and came to me and approached me about buying it. You know, so obviously doing between 8 and 15 grand a week, you know, we're not making a whole lot of money, and we're just we're basically breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what money that we're losing in the off season, you know, we're making back in the season.
Okay.
And the main reason is my salary's down there, because I got a GM down there and a kitchen manager and so forth. You know,
sure.
It's not like the other two concepts where I'm now working and my wife is working, where we can, if business is good, we're making some money. If business is not good, at least we're making the salary.
Right.
Okay. So I came up with the asking price about 150 grand.
Okay.
And so this guy has a partner, his father. And so a week before New Year's, he comes and approaches me about it, and I take him down there, show him the place, tell him, I say, hey, you know, the place is 150 grand. He says, fine, you know, I'll talk to my dad about it, yada, yada, get right back to you. He doesn't call back till New Year's Day, which is, you know, 10 days later. 10 days later, he says, hey, you know, let me come back down there with my dad, show him the place, yada, yada. Set up an appointment for the next day, he comes back in, but his dad doesn't, you know, his dad's the money guy, the big guy.
Right.
His dad doesn't come with him. He says, yeah, dad got, you know, whatever, busy, whatever excuse it is. And he said, but we'll call you with the offer this evening. I said, fine, yeah. Call me with the offer, 75 grand. And I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, Larry. Yes, you know, we're not even in the same ballpark. He said, well, you know, you said, you know, I asked you what you would take. You said make an offer. We're making an offer. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I just don't think that it would behoove me to make you a counteroffer, because we'd just be wasting our time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, whatever. He said, you know, just call me back, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. He said, you know, just call me back in the next couple of days. So it's been a couple of days, and I still haven't called the guy back.
Mm-hmm.
And just from a negotiating point, you know, my drop dead is probably 125, 130,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what the kind of money I need to get out and pay my bills and the loan off and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, what you've got in it is not his problem.
I understand.
Okay. So that isn't going to help you much in terms of a negotiating point. I think what I would do, I guess in general a place isn't worth a whole lot more than it would cost somebody else to build it from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could duplicate your place for $100, I wouldn't pay you $150 for it.
Right, he couldn't.
Unless you had some great lease, or unless I was going to run the same thing that you were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm going to go buy Jake's, I'd pay you more than it would cost me to duplicate it, because you've already got a following. You know, I'm going to pick up all of that. You know, there's value to me in what you've got there. But if somebody's going to take it, they're going to take your Italian place and turn it into a topless Thai bar.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is no goodwill.
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is that
okay,
I have
so,
a good lease on it.
Okay. So here's the point.
Yeah.
My point with it is this: is say, well, let's look at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you wanted, let's say that you wanted to find another location next door and duplicate what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you're looking at. You've got mm-hmm. this and this and this and this and this, and equipment was this, and FF&E is this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find as good a location, and you're not going to find as good a lease.
Mm-hmm.
And that all totals up to $135,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on. Is that basically all I'm offering here is an opportunity for you to get in there for a price that's compatible with what it's less money than it would cost you to go and do it on your own.
Okay, good.
Because it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think until you do that, and this, I'm just guessing here, Kevin. You may have some thoughts on this too. Although you've been there for 17 years, you don't know any of this stuff. You haven't had to move. I don't know, but at any rate, that otherwise it's just, you know, it's like buying a car. They say this, and I need to come in lower.
Right.
You know, so all they're trying to talk you down on it because they're just looking at a dollar figure, not what's the value of what does the dollar figure represent. And so you might have to walk him through it.
Okay.
So that he understands where that number came from, and he understands that if he wants to go and do something, so, you know, you're going to go off. If you really want to do something like this, you're going to go off and you're going to do a lot of research, and this is what you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to cost you this and this and this and this and that, and even then, you're going to have all the work that's involved. I mean, you know, it's going to take you 4 months to build this thing out. You've got permits that you have to deal with. You've got contractors that you got to deal with. If it's not something that you do regularly, you've got a whole learning curve that you have to deal with. I mean, all of that has value. All of that's going to
mm-hmm.
cost them money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's cha-ching, 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 this whole thing adds up, and they could look at it and say, God, for $150, if I can walk in and just start off, you know, so you can buy this thing and be operating in 24 hours.
Right.
Or whatever the process time is for the liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus, you know, a four-month period. You know, I mean, it's your call.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to figure out that, you know, you're going to be tied up for those 4 months, and you're not going to be making any money, so you've got that. You're going to be spending it.
Right.
So even if this thing is break-even for those 4 months, you're still paying yourself, and you're not bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you have to, my suggestion would be to make that case.
Right.
Because if they're not going to listen to that, they're not prospects anyway.
Okay.
I mean, everybody thinks they're an expert in the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So, anything, Kevin, what do you think?
It's interesting. I right in this building that I have my restaurant in was a breakfast-style restaurant called Golden Griddle. Went out of business 3 years ago, and they haven't been able to lease the site since. And the landlord approached me a couple of months ago and said, why can't we lease it? And I told him the problems with the site and all that stuff. And I was quite frank. I said, though, if I had the money, I would open it up and make a go of it. But I don't have the money. So he came back and he said, what if I gave you $200,000 and lent you the rest? And, you know, for probably $400,000 to $500,000, you could open up a 5,000-square-foot restaurant. And, you know, as long as if the lease was the same as what I have here at Jake's, I think I'd be able to make a go of it. And,
mm-hmm.
he wants me more than I want him. So if I sit back and just take it nonchalantly, I think his contribution to the project might go up because he needs me more than I need him.
Well, I tell you what you could do is you could do it as a management contract.
Yeah.
Say, look, you put in the money. You build it out to my spec, and I'll run it for you.
Yeah, I could do that.
Because he's going to have to put in the money anyway.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to, then basically you don't, you get to sell your expertise, not your ability to sign a loan for, you know, $500,000.
Yeah.
Let me inject something here. Are you saying, Jake, that I should not call this guy back or wait for him to call me back?
I would wait for him to call you back. Have you ever read Harvey McKay's books? His negotiating things were, he said, you know, somebody came in, they acted as if they weren't even interested in it, but the other party was chomping at the bit, so the price went up.
Right.
If you act as if you're not really interested in selling it, you know, take it or leave it, and if he's really dying for it, then he'll come back with a higher price.
Okay.
Well, he'll come back with a price that's still going to be less, and you say, look, let me give you a short lesson in economics here.
Yeah.
And then you sit down and go through all the numbers with him.
Okay, good point.
So here's the reality of what it's going to cost you to do your own. Now, what you may find out is that he's not that serious about getting in the restaurant business.
Right.
It just looks
like getting another one. I mean, he already has 10.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the thing was that if the 75 was just so far off.
Yeah.
You know that I think it was just shaking, you know, that he's shaking the tree to see, you know, how bad off I am to try to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
He might be trying to find out what your numbers are too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing though, he's not that concerned because you know how you own 10 restaurants and they're doing pretty good. You know, in his mind, he's going to do 3 times my numbers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if he already knows, I mean, if he already has a grasp of economics, maybe that's, you know, maybe my approach is that I should have asked that question first.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he knows, you know, if it's not worth any more than 75 to him, then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't afford to let it go for that.
No, and it certainly is worse. I mean, even if the building, even if there wasn't even if the restaurant was not open there, just the fact that it's zoned for a restaurant and it has a full restaurant in there, I mean, it's worth $125,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and besides, it's a 5% lease based on you know, beer, you know, on alcohol and food. You know, not counting because he was doing nightclub. That's not including the rent would be based on his. Door charges, you know, so yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of reasons why he should be there.
Yeah.
And why that restaurant would be worth that to him.
How many square feet is it?
It's about 5,000.
I don't know about construction costs in the States, but in Canada, just to put the plumbing, the electricity in, the exhaust hoods, you're looking over 100 right there.
Yeah.
You know,
so how are you competing at by so much a foot?
I'm sorry.
You're looking at $100,000 just to put the restaurant in, right?
Just for the
infrastructure.
Just those, yeah, like the walls,
right?
Electrical, plumbing, and
sure.
Exhaust hoods. You know, for me to replace all the furniture in my restaurant, the tables and chairs only is over $100,000 there.
Right.
You know, every table, like up here, a good wooden. Chair, you're looking at about $85.
Sure.
Well, you're looking at about $400. So if you've got 150 seats, just multiply those out, and it gets quite expensive, just furniture alone.
Right.
Never mind cooking equipment and all that stuff. So, it does get very expensive.
Okay. All right, well, good. I do appreciate that. That makes me feel a little bit more... You know, that I should maybe sit back and wait a little bit and wait till he approaches me again and then maybe come back at him, you know, with what you're talking about, Bill.
Well, you could talk about some of that and say, you know, if it's something that you're interested in, you probably ought to do it now because once we get into season and the volume goes up, it's going to cost more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good point.
And it should. See, the only reason I'm willing to let it go for 150 right now is we're in the slow time.
Right.
And it'll carry itself for... 4 months, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Once it's starting to make money, then I need more money for it.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So you put the little fire under him.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. I need to run. Go get the restaurant open.
Okay. Well, we're about 45 minutes into this one, so I think that's probably about right.
Well, Kevin, Bill, thanks for the private coaching session.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we'll chat next month. You're going to get the January interviews with Bill Main.
Okay.
You know Bill. I know.
I do.
I know Kevin, our Evan, that you do.
Yeah.
And so we'll be talking to him next month. I just did an interview with Max Hitchens, so we'll be talking to him in February.
Good.
So he's going to call in from Australia. We're actually going to do it live. So that.
Now, what's Bill going to be talking about?
We're talking about operations.
Okay.
Excellent.
And and so that's good stuff. I always like talking to him because it stretches my skull every time it happens.
It does, and he has so much energy too.
Yeah. Yeah, we go back a long way, so it's kind of nice. And he's going to be at the Super Conference, so that's one you got to do. I mean, you can pass on the roundtable, Edmund, but make plans for that one.
The Super Conference is going to be there physically.
No, that's a physical one.
Okay.
We're going to have tape. We're going to tape it, and the tapes are going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a real different deal because this.
Yeah, when is the Super Conference?
13th, 14th of May.
Okay, at?
In Seattle.
At Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Max is going to be over here. So Max and myself and Bill Main and Phyllis Ann Marshall and Joel Cohen and about five other people.
Wow, yeah. That will be great. So that's a couple, that'll be for 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's 2 days. So start, assembling frequent flyer miles.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll let you go, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, y'all. Happy New Year.
Second end. We'll talk to you next month.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
Bye.